that. I want to start out this morning just by mentioning that this would be more of a normal evening message. It's not the typical AM service, but I believe it's an important one for us as we have the idea of revival, as we have the idea of reviving ministries right here at Bible Baptist. We're going to read just one verse, Psalm chapter 85, and I read it earlier, but we're going to read it again. In verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Wilt thou not revive us again? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, again, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you for the opportunity of being here. I just pray just be with each person here today or listening on live stream, Father, whatever the means may be. But, Father, you just prepare their hearts for your word, that you prepare their hearts, Father, for that which is presented today, that all would be accepted and would be just, Lord, open to your word. And we'll thank you and praise you for it now, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Everything we do as a Christian or as a people need to be done with purpose, passion, and a plan. Purpose, passion, and plan. A saying that's probably very familiar to most of you is those who fail to plan to fail, right? And there's a lot of truth behind that. We can say it's a biblical truth, and it is. It's a biblical principle. But those who fail to plan to fail. So we are going to have a plan here at the church. Why? Because God tells us to do everything decently and in good order. Why? Because if we don't have a plan, if we don't have a desire, we don't have a direction, we don't have a focus, then what are we doing? We're treading water, right? As a Christian, in the Christian life, we are either moving forward and getting closer to Christ, or we're moving backwards. If we're in the middle, you know what Christ calls that? Being lukewarm. We have no desire to be lukewarm because Christ literally says, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Think about that. It's a little kind of gross, but Christ says that, right? There's an intent, there's a purpose, there's a reason. I just want to take a few moments and just review a couple of points from some of our previous messages, from some of my previous messages. I've shared this with many of you, but I want to start out with this. Just being very transparent, I told my wife that my very first phone call with the deacons, or interview, if you will, we talked, I don't know, hour and a half, give or take, maybe a little longer, maybe a little less, and it was just a phone call. We were still in New York, and when we finished, I came in, and my wife eagerly said, well, how did it go? And I said, honey, and I said these words to her. You can ask her. She's not sitting here, so she's not hearing me say it, but this is what I said to her. I said, honey, I'd be amazed if that's not where God calls us. So from one of the very beginnings, I really had a drawing, the desire of my heart was to be here. Why? Because I believed it was God's will for our lives, for the church, and for our family. So in the beginning, as sharing some of these messages, it was done on purpose. I want you to understand that. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by happenstance. It was done intentionally. But one of the first messages I shared was the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. And I'm not going to go through everything and re-preach them all again. But if you remember, a few of the key points was reaching others, the Great Commission, going to the uttermost, but also going across the street. We talked about growing in our faith and discipleship, how iron sharpens iron. We talked about how it is our duty to serve, and to bear one another's burdens, how we are to protect the church and the sheep within the church. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's no accident in the Bible that God calls Satan a roaring lion. A lion never has an intent just to maim or injure and then let someone free. He has the intent to devour, to consume, to take the whole piece over. We need to protect the church of God. We said that everything that we do needs to center around one of two principles. First and foremost is reaching the lost, telling others also about Jesus, inviting them to church, not just inviting them to church, but telling them about Jesus. Ministry needs to happen more than just inside this church building and more than just on this church property. It is our responsibility to go ye into all the world, right? Go. The Bible doesn't say stay, it says go. Now, whether that means going across the street, going across the cubicle, going across the hallway, it means different things for different people, but it's all of our responsibilities. We also said that the second primary objective of the church is to help grow believers in fellowship. We want, again, that iron sharpens iron principle. We learned in Nehemiah that the people, that Nehemiah charged the people to rise up and build. Rise up and build. It is our desire that we rise up and build the church of Jesus Christ. Remember, building the church isn't simply the membership piece, though that is a part of it. It's not simply, hey, we're going to have people from, you know, who are already saved come in, though that is part of it. To truly grow the church of Jesus Christ, to truly grow our church, it means bringing the lost in and seeing them get saved. That's growing beyond the church. That's growing the kingdom. And that's what we're about. Nehemiah also said this, that the people had a mind to work. If you remember, they built the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. 52 days. I shared a humorous story that whenever I went to college, they were working on the construction. And I went back just a few years ago, and almost 25 years later, they were still doing the same construction project. Right? They had no mind to work, because their paychecks still came in. But in Nehemiah's day, they had a mind to work. They had a focus. They had an objective that had to be completed. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 with me this morning. Colossians chapter 3. I want to set the foundation with this verse of all things that we're going to do in the church. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It reads this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. I want to set a foundation right now before we get into the different ministries and different focuses and the things and the activities we're going to do here at Bible Baptist with this verse. Liz will quote this verse to our boys frequently, right? I will tell the boys the same principle. Back when I was working in the secular world, I would have to work a lot of hours, right? In my role, that was just what was expected. And a lot of times it was because people didn't do their job. I'll just be very honest, right? I know many of you have experienced those same kind of things. If people don't do what they're supposed to do, well, it still needs done and people have to pick up the slack. And I would tell the boys, this is why we tell you that when you're doing things, even like cleaning up your room, cleaning the house, doing the dishes, you do it well. You do it heartily as to the Lord. You do it completely. Why? Because you want it to be a good testimony for Christ. You want to be a good testimony for the ministry. Anything we do here at Bible Baptist, we need to have the heart's desire to do it heartily as to the Lord. I'm going to present some ministries in just a few moments that my heart's desire is we start them. We get them revived again, if you will. We get them restarted again. With some of these, I'm going to give some tentative dates. I want to set the preface for this. If we can't do it well and we can't do it right, those dates may not happen. It doesn't mean the ministries won't happen. It means we may say, you know what, we're going to put a pause on this for another week or two. Why? Because when we do it, I want it to be done well, as to the Lord. Not for me, not for our church, but as to the Lord, and not unto men. We want to be in obedience for what God wants for this church. We want it to be a great presentation for those, as we have visitors come in, and they're involved, and they see things, and they're doing things. We want them to see a good representation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say this last thing before we get into our main points. These aren't in a specific order, all right? These aren't most important to least important, because I don't want you to think, oh, well, my area of interest was one of the last things pastor said, so it must not be a priority. Not at all. Not at all. This is just simply, we got to start somewhere and we got to end somewhere, all right? But one area that we're going to revive is our children's ministry. Our children's ministry. We say, why? Matthew chapter 19, verse 14 says this, "But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Children were a priority to Jesus Christ. How then are they not a priority to us? We've already began some of these ministries. We started with junior church last week. We kicked that off. We're going to continue on doing junior church during the Sunday AM hour. Planning that by God's grace, by the middle of October, the 20th of October, that Lord willing, we might be able to start a Wednesday night kids club back up again. You say, well, why or how or why wouldn't we? We have to have servants. We have to have leaders. We have to have people fill the gaps, not just in children's ministries, but in many ministries. 4 weeks ago now, I put information cards out there, things you might be interested in serving, things you might be interested in helping with. And I've gone through those and kind of figured out who has volunteered or who's willing to do different things, and I praise God for it. But the one thing I don't want to do, the one thing that we won't do, is we won't allow 90% of the work being done by 10% of our people. Why? They're going to get burnt out. They're going to get worn out. And as a pastor, it's my responsibility to help guide and take care of the flock, the sheep that God's given. It's my responsibility to protect them, sometimes even from ourselves. Have you ever gotten to the point where, and we got to this point in one of our ministries, where 5-6 days a week, days and or nights, we were at the church doing something. And we loved it. Don't misunderstand me. We loved it. But we realized, by accident, we were neglecting some of our responsibilities as parents. I never want to put us in that situation. So to say that we have enough people to start this ministry, no, we don't. We're getting close, but not yet. I will say this, when we talk about children's ministries, that when it comes to men's and ladies' events that we're going to talk about in a few moments, that children are welcome to come. You say, why? It's for women and men. Here's the reason, and I'm going to explain this. In the Bible, Proverbs 22 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Do you know the biggest gap in churches today for age group? Do you know when that is? Approximately age 18 to 30. 18 to 30. That's a passion that we, Liz and I, have had for years. I've shared that with you with our college and career ministries that we were part of. Why? Because oftentimes the foundational elements are not laid. Why? Because oftentimes the church has missed this important principle. It is our responsibility as parents first, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, as a church, to help grow children. Why? Because I want my boys to learn to become men of God. I want to see the young ladies in our church grow to be ladies of God. Why? Because then once they have that firm foundation and they hit those age and they start experiencing some of that quote-unquote freedom, they'll understand. What a better way for them to learn that than by having them be at some of these events, by hearing some of these fellowships. Now, I'll say there's times when it'll be age appropriate. For instance, if we're having a ladies' conference, mom might not want to bring their toddler. Okay? Hopefully, we'll be able to have nursery for them, but we may not be able to. So if it's one of those situations where it's going to distract the parent and they say, no, I'm not going to do that, parents, that's your decision to make. But understand, I support you fully in that decision. Why? Because I want to see our children grow up to be godly men and women and continue to carry the torch for the cause of Jesus Christ. How can we expect them to grow in grace and understand how they need to live and who they should be? these are the events and these are the times through Sunday school, through junior church, through these different events. I know one of the greatest things that we ever did was we brought our boys to everything. Everything. Now, again, when it was age appropriate, when they're old enough to start coming to a conference, they came. If they're old enough to sit in church, they're probably old enough to do it. Why? It's good for them to understand, to see godly men and godly women as examples for Christ. I want to just give you this thought. We had, when we lived in Florida, we had some of Liz's family come down. It was her aunt and her niece. It was a broken home, and they came down, and they came to church with us, and they're of like mind, of like faith. They're Baptists, and they believe God. They're saved. They believe in God. They're saved. No issues or questions with that. But through our service, they had a chance to see some of the men in our church come up and pray, come to the altar and just pray. Some of it was public prayer and some of it was just private, just between them and God. And her aunt said this to Liz, and I never realized it. I never thought about it. She said, "I'm so glad my daughter had a chance to see men come and humble themselves and kneel and pray. It was a good lesson. It was a good example." Those are some of the reasons why we do what we do. We're going to revive children's ministries. We're going to revive Sunday school. Why are we going to revive Sunday school? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12 says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, that they may fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law." Sunday school is important. Sunday school is important that we learn. We have a time of fellowship. We grow together. We study God's word. Sometimes those environments we can learn more from, we can grow more in our personal lives than we can ever just through simply coming to a service. The plan for this is the beginning of October. The 10th of October is the plan date. The plan to start off, and I know things were done differently and I respect that, but right now the greatest needs I see is we're going to start with two children's classes. Two children's classes. 4-year-olds to about second grade, and then third grade through fifth grade. I want to start with the junior and senior high teens ministry, Sunday school. We're going to have at least 1 to 2 adult classes. Yes, that means pastor's not going to be teaching every class. Again, we need people with a heart and a desire to serve. Do we have enough people for this? We're close. We're close, and I praise God for it. Why are we waiting a little while? Again, because we want it done heartily. As to the Lord. Revive children's ministry. Revive Sunday school classes. Revive ladies' ministries. I praise God. They started their Bible study this past Monday evening. Why would we do this? Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children." I shared these verses with the ladies on Monday night. I did not preach to them. At least I don't think I did. Maybe a little. I only had 5 minutes, and I respected that 5-minute time frame. But I shared these verses with them. Why? Because it's my heart that this is the foundation of our ladies' ministry, with the intent, with the purpose, with the plan behind it of older ladies teaching the younger ladies. And I explained to them, this isn't simply as of age. It's also sometimes spiritual maturity. There are things that you might have someone who might be a little bit younger, but they have a lot of spiritual wisdom because of life experiences. Maybe they were saved longer, for a longer time. Maybe their spiritual life is just different, and they're still able to contribute, still able to help, still able to support all those around. But that the principle, the heart, the foundation be with the desire of teaching others also. Discipleship. Understanding the importance of why we do what we do. We do it with a purpose. You see, we don't want any group, whether it be ladies or men, to just go and meet and have tea and cookies, and that's all they ever do. Right? And they sit and they quote-unquote chew the fat. Nope. We want them studying the Word of God. We want them teaching the younger ladies. We want them doing the things that God wants them to do. Now, we have events planned. If you look at the calendar, don't look at it now, look at it later. We have women's events planned. Will I be doing them? No. No. Why? It's not my realm. We have ladies that are beyond capable and excited. My wife and I have talked about many events that we're just praying about. And there will be more to come to fill in those gaps of what those events are going to be. But with a purpose of discipleship. Reviving the ladies' ministries is also, and then next is also reviving men's ministries. Why? Proverbs chapter 27, 17, and you've heard me say this verse already this morning. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Iron sharpens iron. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago. I have a burden for men's ministries, not just because I'm a man, but because in the different ministries and churches that I've been in and I've been part of, I believe this is one of the biggest gaps in America. I believe it's one of the biggest gaps in America, and I want to explain why. We have ladies that meet on a weekly basis. We have ladies that do Bible study. They do women's events. Men's events typically tend to be, hey, we're going to go and have some fun, right? Maybe they'll do a men's conference once every 5 years, but there's not focus put on men's ministries. A man is to be the head of the house, to lead their homes. And I don't mean in an authoritarian way. That's not it at all. But they're supposed to be leaders in their homes. They're supposed to be leaders in the church. But if we don't give an opportunity to help them grow, to disciple them, to see iron sharpening iron, how are we investing in the men of our church? Our society has dumbed down the role of the husband and father more than in existence. Think about it. How many TV shows could you name, and don't name them because I don't want to hear them, where the husband or the father is a buffoon? Let's be honest. It's the dumbing down. It's the putting down of the male role model, and it is huge in our society today. That's not a God thing. That's a man thing. That's Satan creeping in and lurking in and using the cause of entertainment, using the cause of humor, and, oh, that's funny. And it is kind of funny. It is kind of humorous. But it's not Bible. It's not the way God intended it. It's not what God planned and ordained in His Word for the role of the man in the home or in the church. He doesn't say, you know, wood sharpens iron. He doesn't say, you know, something, cotton sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. What's that mean? That means two men that are in the Word of God and in the Bible, and they're challenging each other. They're challenging each other towards the things of God. They want them to be sharp. We want them to be strong. We want them to be focused on the things of God. Why? Not because we're chauvinistic. Please don't think that. That's not it at all. Not at all. Why? Because we want them to be sharp. A tool fit for the master's hand. We want them to be strong leaders in their home. Again, not authoritarian, but someone who leads their home with love, with compassion, but also a fervor, a desire to see their family grow, a desire to lead in the church. That's iron sharpens iron. That's a taste of iron sharpening iron. Revive the ladies' ministries. Revive men's ministries. Revive church fellowships. Why? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I'm sorry, I need to go backwards 1 second. My apologies. Men's ministries. How are we going to do that? Here's where we're going to start. On October the 8th, it's a Friday, and every consecutive Friday, starting at 7 a.m., we're going to meet for a cup of coffee. We're going to have a brief time of devotional, a brief time of prayer. You might say, Pastor, I can't be here Friday mornings at 7 a.m. I understand that. Do I expect everyone's going to be able to do that? I do not. I do not. I understand that. If you can, I challenge you to be there. If you can't, and you say, Pastor, this is something I'm really excited about. This is something I really want to be part of. Come to me later. Talk to me about a time that would work, and we'll look into it. My heart's desire isn't that we just have one men's group meeting once a week. My heart's desire is we'd have several meeting every week. Different men, different groups, different folks meeting where and when it works. Why? Because I believe it's important that men have a desire to sharpen each other. Men have a desire for their selves to be sharpened. Now, moving to the next, reviving church fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God intended for us to have fellowship. This last year, especially at the beginning of COVID, during the quote-unquote shutdown, my heart and prayer is that you learn that more than ever before. Where we were in New York, the shutdown lasted much longer and was, I'll call it harsher, I think, than it was here. But we really learned the need for fellowship. We are a people-driven, we are a heart-driven people. Right? We need that fellowship. We need that time together. We need to be together in God's house studying God's word. We also need time where we can have Christian fellowship. Now, we've been doing fellowships since before I got here, I know, and then starting thereafter, we began our first one on September 5th, which was Labor Day weekend. We had a fellowship. We had dinner on the grounds. We had an evening or an early afternoon devotional, and we had a good time together. The next one is October 16th. I already shared that announcement, so I'm not going to take a lot of time around it. Why do we need to be there? Because it's a good time of fellowship. Is it going to be fun? Absolutely. Are we going to have a good time? You betcha. But it's deeper than that. It needs to be deeper than that. My prayer isn't we just sit around and talk about the weather. Boy, it's a great day. Well, it sure is. But man, what's God doing in your life? What's something you're praying about God to do in your life? And we'll have some focus that day, and we'll have some maybe some singing and just a good time of fellowship. We'll have a campfire. We'll have some good events. Again, a wonderful time. Now, I will say this. It's not going to go until midnight. It's Saturday. Church is Sunday. Pastor needs to sleep. Okay? So do you. My intent is that we never do anything too late on a Saturday night because we don't want to interrupt what God has for us on Sunday morning. Amen? And we're going to continue doing that. We're going to continue to invite people also to these events. Why? Because we want them to know God. Next is reviving outreach. Reviving outreach. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read one of the most common verses in the Bible, or most familiar verses, I should say, not common. Nothing in the Bible is common, but most familiar verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Reviving outreach. God tells us to go. God tells us to do. God tells us to support our missionaries. God tells us to support each other. Outreach is going to be something that is going to be a fervor for our church. Why? Because it's one of the greatest commandments given in the Word of God. Why? Because any time I hear of someone's death, my heart aches, especially when I don't know where they're spending eternity. That should be our heart's desire. A common motto or belief, doctrine, if you will, in the military is no man left behind. That should be our heart's desire. That should be what drives us every single day. No man left behind. We don't want anyone left behind in this world that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know that there's only two places. There's either spending eternity in heaven forever with Jesus, or eternity in hell separated from Jesus. You know the worst part about hell? And we're going to do a study on this sometime in the future. The worst part about hell isn't the agony from the flames. It isn't the worms. It isn't the darkness. It's total and complete separation from Jesus for eternity. Is outreach important? I would say there's nothing more important. Do we have a plan for outreach? We do. But before we get to that plan, I want to read Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Before we get into the outreach plan, it will be to come. Why? Because we need to take care of our house first. We need to get these ministries revived. We need to get things focused and where it needs to be. Now, if we started doing outreach, absolutely. We've got folks that go out once, twice, three times a week and do door knocking. That will be a piece of the ministries that we will be doing. More ministries to come. Next, we're going to revive the greeters and hospitality ministry. Greeters / hospitality. Matthew 25:35 says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." This needs to be the focus behind this ministry. I want to explain what this ministry is, and I don't want to take a ton of time, but because we're going to be developing this more. This ministry isn't just simply someone standing at the door and opening it and saying good morning and smiling. Is that a piece of it? Absolutely it is. I personally underestimated the ministry of the greeter. I did my whole life. When I became a store manager in my last role, it limited what I was able to do as far as attending church services. And that was hard for me. I mean, I chewed on that. I struggled because I wasn't in every church service. And I had always been in every church service my entire life. And one of the college and career young people that we had taught years before, 6-7 years before, had come up and she was visiting us with two of her children. And they were sitting beside us in church service, and they announced, "Hey, we need some greeters." And they said, "We'll work around your schedule, whatever you need to do." And she leaned over and whispered, and she said, "If you don't sign up for this, I'm going to sign you up." And it hit me. I can do that. You know, and I don't want to say I had the spirit of, well, that's kind of, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher, that's what I love to do. You know, I didn't want to be a greeter, but it just wasn't a desire. I'm like, you know what, no. I can do that. I can do that. And I started doing the greeting ministry, and boy, I loved it. It was fantastic. Being a greeter isn't just opening the door and smiling and saying good morning. That is a part of it. But it's also understanding who our visitors are, welcoming them into our church, helping them find where they need to go. If they've got children, if they've, you know, whether it be the Sunday school classes, junior church, explaining kind of the way our service is and how we do things, and just making them feel at home. Why? Again, Matthew 25:35, "For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." There's a story of a very large church. It was a several thousand person church. And their pastor had left and their new pastor came in. And they were all excited because this is his first official Sunday as their pastor. And so they had everything prepped and cleaned and ready for him. And they were all buzzing around. Everyone was dressed in their best, right? They were ready to go. That same day, an obvious homeless man came in off the street. Dirty, disheveled. And he came in to be in the service. He came in, he tried to greet someone at the door, or the person at the door, and they kind of steered him away. He started walking in, and he wanted to find a place to sit. And he sat just a couple seats away from someone. That someone looked at him, and he gave him the look, and got up, and they moved away from him. He got up a little disappointed and hurt, tried to talk with some of the ushers and some of the folks just to find out about church. But they looked at him, just didn't give him the time of day. He came and he sat about halfway down. The service began. They sang the songs. They did announcements. And then one of the assistant pastors got up and said, "I'd like to introduce you for the first time, our new senior pastor." Guess who stood up and walked to the front? That supposed homeless man stood up, there was none around him, and walked to the pulpit. And he explained his situation, he explained his experience. And he used this verse and he said, "I was a stranger and you took me in." May we always be welcoming of anybody who wants to come in the house of God. May we love on them, we support them, we have a desire to make sure they know about Jesus, but we want them to feel at home. We want them to feel at home. Lastly this morning, revive music ministry. Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, or in his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." Make a joyful noise to the Lord. I love music. I love music. Good, godly music. I love it. I reread some of one of the verses this morning of Holy, Holy, Holy. Why? We need to put a focus in our hearts when we're singing. Understand, you're not singing to me. I get to hear it. It's kind of fun for me. You're not singing to me. You're singing to Jesus Christ. Don't ever let anything get in the way of that heart process, that heart piece of giving glory to Jesus Christ. It's one of the things that prepares us for his word. It's one of the things that should move us and touch our hearts and lives. Why? Because we're giving glory to the Lord. I've always said this. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. When I sing, it may not sound joyful to you. Poor Adam, who is very much music-focused, he gets to hear me sing because I stand right there and he stands right here. And he gets to hear my voice and me being off pitch and messing up notes, half the time messing up words. Why? Because a lot of times I'm just giving praise to God. And you know what? I love Adam. And he doesn't complain to me. Probably his wife, but not to me. I love Adam, but I'm not singing to Adam. I'm not singing to Nathaniel. I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to Jesus. Make a joyful noise. Give God praise. Give him glory. Why? We're going to do it for all eternity. You might as well start now. In a couple of weeks, that was one of the questions given, was what does music look like in our church today? I'm going to be doing a couple of week messages around music in the church today. What are we going to do to revive this ministry? We're praying about different ways to do this. We're praying about different things that we can do. Does that look like a choir? Does it look like small groups? Does it look like ensembles? A little bit of everything, right? Again, it's all in the hearts and the lives of the people that want to serve. If we have 40 people that want to be in choir, we'll do a choir. If we have 5 people, we're going to do an ensemble. We're going to do a small group or whatever you want to call it, right? But we're going to sing praises to Jesus Christ. Not for the edification and the glory of those doing it. Not for our personal enjoyment and entertainment and sitting back and saying, entertain me today. No. We're doing it for the glory of God. May we never forget that. Understand, this isn't everything. Do we have other things planned and desire? I do. But this is where we're starting. This is the jump-off point from everything else. This is the foundation. We've got to get these pieces right before we can move on to next steps. Are we going to move on to next steps? Absolutely. Right now, there's 3 groups of people in this auditorium. There's some that are sitting back saying, that new pastor is crazy. How are we going to do all this? How are we going to do it all? or I don't like what he's saying. Why would we want to do that? Why would we let a kid come to a ladies' or men's ministry? There's someone here that are thinking that. And I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I'm not trying to be rude. But it's reality. There's another group of people that are thinking, man, he didn't say my ministry. He didn't put a focus on what I love, what I like, what matters to me. You know what? I'm not going to do anything until it's time for me to do my stuff. Right? There is. I'm not naive. But there's a third group of people. Turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. You've heard me say these words many times, and you'll hear me say them many more times. Starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." Say these last words with me. "For the people had a mind to work." My heart's desire this morning, my prayer is that third group of people have a mind to work. Have a desire to say, man, I don't know how we're going to do it. Guess what? I don't know how we're going to do it all either. I have ideas, I have plans, I'm preparing, but I don't know it either. But we have a mind to work. A mind to work is having a mind to do the things which God wants us to do. A mind and a desire and a heart and a passion for the things of God. You think about, you know, different sports seasons, football seasons coming up, right? I think did it already start? I don't know, I don't watch football, sorry. I know, I just got shut out from many of you, right? But have you ever watched someone watching a football game who has a passion for a team? Right? Let's just pretend there's people in this auditorium that like the Green Bay Packers. Now, I don't have anything against them. I don't really watch football, obviously. But have you ever watched them watch a football game? Do they have passion around that? Do they have excitement and fervor around that? Sure they do. Why? Because it's something they love. It's something they care about. It's something they have a drive and a desire for. You know, they'll scream at the TV, and man, there are so many coaches around this country that try to coach through watching the TV, right? Yeah, they should have passed. They should have done this. They should have done the other thing. And they're screaming and yelling. Why? Because they have a passion. They have an excitement. They have a fervor for their home team. Why can't we have that same kind of passion, that same kind of fervor for the things of Jesus Christ? Why? Now, I'm not saying that we stand up and we root and we holler and we rah-rah. That's not what we're talking about, and you know it. But we have a mind to work. We have a heart's desire to do the things God wants us to do. That we work together with a sense of unity, a sense of focus, a sense of desire to see the kingdom grown. It's the only way we're going to accomplish anything that I shared with you this morning. Pastor can't do it by himself. I mentioned to you about the information cards. And listen, if you didn't fill it out or you didn't fill it out completely, I'm not trying to beat you up. That's not my intent, okay? A lot of people fill it out a lot of different ministries, and I thank God for that. And as I was kind of setting up some of these different things and praying about them and looking at them, you started seeing a lot of the same names on every list. I praise God for those names. I'm thankful for it. But again, part of my job, my responsibility as your pastor is to protect the people, to protect them sometimes from themselves, protect them from burning out. We're not going to have the same 6, 7, 8, 9 people doing 10 different things. 90% of the work isn't going to be done by 10% of the people. Why? Because that's not Bible. It didn't say some of the people had a mind to work. It didn't say, you know, oh, when it was convenient. It didn't say this or that or the other. It says, no, the people had a mind to work. All the people. Together. May that be our heart's desire, is that we have a desire to work for the things of God. And you might say, Pastor, these really aren't in the realm of things that I normally do or understand. You know what? God can use anyone at any time for anything. It all starts with the heart attitude. It all starts with what your makeup is. What's your intent in doing it? Why do we do what we do? Are we in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whenever it is, simply to fill the pew and to check the box? Are we in church with a desire to serve God, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, that iron with sharp iron, to tell others also? What's our purpose? What's our reason for being here? Folks, God calls us all. He says, go. He says, do. If we want to honor Him, if we want to glorify Him, we've got to be serving. Serving's not optional. Now, you might be physically unable to do some of these things, and I understand that. And by the way, let me say this. Not everyone is called to be a Sunday school teacher. I believe that. You know why I believe that? I've had some Sunday school teachers that weren't called to be Sunday school teachers. Not everyone is called into the junior church ministry. I know that. And I'm okay with that. I don't believe everyone should sign up for everything. But we can all do something. We can all serve. We can all do something for the glory of God. And that needs to be the challenge today. That needs to be the desire of your heart. My prayer for you is that you pray this before you leave today. God, where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? Lord, give me a willing heart, an open heart, to do what you want me to do. That needs to be the attitude.